Next presentation is ammonia volatilization from Benson's urea, impact of application rate and depth of incorporation, presented by Philippe Roche.
That's correct. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon. So my talk will be dealing with the ammonia volatilization following application in bands. And I'm going to focus on the application and the effect of application rate and the depth of incorporation. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors from Ag Canada in Quebec City, Denis Anger, Martin Chantigny, David Pelster, and Normand Bertrand, and from the Quebec Research Center on Environment, Marc-Olivier Gasser. So urea is by far the most popular N fertilizer in Canada, and there's several good reasons for it. However, there's one drawback. It is prone to losses through volatilization of ammonia. And the reasons for this, of course, is that it's a source of ammonium N, but also the hydrolysis of ammonia increases salt pH because the hydrolysis of one mole of urea consumes two moles of protons in soil. So the source of N, of course, increased the intensity of the source because of the concentration of ammonium N, and the increase in pH switches the balance between the two ionic forms of ammonium towards NH3 and then increased volatilization. So it's not uncommon to see high losses by volatilization. Here you have the in an experiment the person floss of added N as ammonia with broadcast on the soil surface. But if it's left on the soil surface, losses are great. And we know that when we incorporate this urea, usually we limit the losses to just a few percent. So for the broadcast, for the situation when urea is broadcasted, incorporation is a very efficient way to limit volatilization. So what is the situation now when urea is applied in bands? Of course, when you apply urea in bands, you concentrate the material into a small volume, so you increase the concentration. So right there, you increase the strength of the source, especially after hydrolysis when the pH surrounding the band is also increased significantly. So this is what we've measured in a previous experiment. You've got here are the same two bars that were presented in the previous slides. And here's the losses when urea was incorporated in bands at 5 centimeters. So losses were about half of those that we observed when urea was broadcast at the surface, but was still very significant to close to 30% of the applied N. So I guess the objectives of the two experiments I'm going to present today were to assess when we band urea, when we incorporate urea in bands, so how deep do we have to place it, or what is a threshold we should not go above in application rate to avoid significant losses. So these are the first two objectives. And the third one is to look at the relationships between the volatilization rates and the soil ammonium N concentration and pH in the band. So we had two experiments. The first one was in 2009. It was to test the impact of the application rates of urea. We went from 0 to 200 kilograms of N per hectare. And we had one incorporation depth at 5 centimeters. The experiment 2, which was exactly, well, just adjacent to the 2009 site, so on the same soil, was done in 2010 and was aiming at the depth of incorporation from 0 to 10 centimeters. And we had one unique application rate at 230 kilograms of N per hectare. And there was no plants present on the soil during the experiment. I have no slides about the soil type, but the soil type is a silty clay loam, about 20% clay, 40% silt with a pH around 6. So the ammonia volatilization was measured with wind tunnels. Treatments were repeated 3 times. We measured over a 25-day period. And 3 times during the 25-day period, we applied the simulated rainfall height of 5 millimeters after 7, 14, and 21 days. Adjacent to these tunnel sites, we installed 4 what we call soil plots, on which we sample soil to monitor the changes in soil ammonium N and pH during the experiment. And we also apply the same rainfall, simulated rainfall, to these plots as well. This is a view, a general view of the experimental site with the tunnels in the forefront and the soil plots in the background. The soil plots were covered with a plastic greenhouse to try to mimic the same conditions that we had inside the tunnels. In 2009, that was the experiment on the application rate, we tilled the soil with a rototiller prior to the application, but not in 2010. In 2010, that was the depth of incorporation, and we felt that it's pretty hard on a freshly tilled soil to determine what is the soil surface. So if we want to have a good determination of the depth of incorporation, we decided to leave the soil untilled. So we digged the trenches directly in a sort of in an untilled soil. The urea was placed at the bottom of handmade trenches about 8 centimeters wide. Here in 2009, we simply opened the freshly tilled soil and we placed the urea at 5 centimeters and we repacked the loose soil with with a rake here on top of the trench. And in 2010, we did the same thing, except that we screened the soil at 6 millimeters before putting it back. We wanted to avoid some confounding effect of the size of the aggregates because we really want to test the effect of the depth of incorporation. This is one of the soil plot after simulated rainfall application. Soil sampling was made on the band. And we put those flags at the place we had taken the sample, so we don't revisit the same site twice. And the soil samples were taken again over the band with an auger. And there was a difference between the 2009 and 2010 methodology for the soil sampling. In 2010, we sampled the top 15 centimeters, so we sampled the whole top 15 centimeters over the band, while in 2010 we only sampled the top 2 centimeters. And we should have done that in 2009 as well, because what we want to relate is if there is to have I'm not sure if that is good English or not, but volatilization, I mean, the soil surface will have to be modified by the treatment. So what we wanted to see in 2010 is how depending on the depth at which we place the urea, how the soil surface properties were modified in terms of ammonium N and pH by the treatment. So the next 6 slides will show the results, and they're all made on the same template. You have here the 25 days of the measurement period, and in the y-axis you have different variables, but this is the ammonia volatilization in milligrams of N per square meter per hour. The vertical bars here indicate when we applied the simulated rainfall. And I'm going to present sequentially the time series for each treatment. So here in 2009, it was the application rate of urea. So that the control, it was at zero, essentially at no losses. And when we added to 80 kilograms of N per hectare, there was not much increase in the volatilization. Slightly increased when we get to 120, but where it really jumped is when we get to 160. Significant increase there, and even greater when we get to 200 kilograms of N per hectare. Here, bring your attention to the effect of rainfall. In this experiment, it usually depressed for a short time the volatilization and then increased it. We can see it here as well. So likely because of an increase in the resistance to diffusion when we wetted the soil, and then after because of probably greater solubilization of ammonium or greater hydrolysis of urea, we get increased afterwards. So a positive, but first a decrease in the emissions. And also bring your attention with the lag here between the application of urea and the beginning of the observation of increased ammonia emission, about 6 days. Here is the same graph again for this same 2009 experiment, but with the soil ammonia man sampled over the full 15 tough centimeters. So barely nothing for the control. But you remember, we didn't see any volatilization really for the 80 kilograms, but still we see a net increase in ammonia man, and of course it increases with the application rate. But to the difference of the volatilization that only really triggered after 6 days. In the case of ammonium, we see an increase after 3 days. So we interpret that as the time for the ammonium N and ammonia that were produced by the hydrolysis of ammonia at the 5 centimeter depth to diffuse to the surface. So another 3 or 4 days before we really can see the impact of this increase in ammonium N on volatilization. pH essentially followed the same pattern as the ammonium N, and I bring your attention to the magnitude of the increase. Like for 200 kilogram of N per hectare, an increase of 3 units in pH. So essentially, a decrease in proton concentration by a factor of 1,000. So really, that's a combination of both factors, the increase in ammonium N and the increase in pH, that makes the banding of urea a potential source of ammonia, even if incorporated at 5 centimeters. The second experiment in 2010, dealing with the depth of incorporation, again the same series of three graphs. Here the ammonia volatilization. So here's the control. So the plots that were that we dig the soil at the surface, but we replace it without urea. So what you see is barely nothing. Maybe you don't see this one because it's really flat at the zero line. It's when you incorporate at 10 centimeters. There was no observation of ammonia volatilization during the 25 days. About the same thing with 7.5 centimeters. So these depths are really safe in terms of the condition of our experiment in terms of ammonia volatilization. We began to see some volatilization at 5 centimeters. And where it really took off, it was 2.5 centimeters. So if you go 1 inch deep, you see important volatilization and very rapid, more rapid than before in the previous experiment the year before, when we only saw volatilization starting at 5 centimeters. After 6 days, when it was incorporated at 5 centimeters, and this is the surface now, because we also applied banded urea at the soil surface. So if you only think about the amount of N that you applied and the resistance to diffusion to the atmosphere, you would think this one would be the highest and also the earliest. But as we will see. You see that it only really starts to emit after the first rainfall. So I'm sure you all understand what happened. And the observation of the soil ammonium N here tells you the story. So here, that's the ammonium N in the surface soil. Remember, in 2010, we only sampled the top 2 centimeters. So here, there's really no modification of the surface ammonium N concentration if you bury at incorporate at 10 centimeters. But the 7.5 do change the conditions at the surface, but not enough to induce emission of ammonia. Same thing with the 5 centimeter. Well, the 5 centimeter does emit a little bit, but not too much, but does change the conditions at the surface. And here, the 2.5, way much more. And when you look at the surface here, you see that the hydrolysis of ammonia was limited at the surface by the dry conditions. So it really only really took off after we added water after 1 week. So interestingly, the emissions early on were greater if you buried at 2.5 centimeters than if you had left it at the surface. That's pretty much, I think, what I had to say here. Yeah. And if you look at the soil pH, so the soil pH at the surface really mimics the ammonium N, so indicating that the chemical and physical factors that do control the diffusion of ammonium and ammonia to the surface from the place it was put at the beginning and the protons are pretty much the same. So if we look now at the bottom line, which are the total losses during the 25 days of monitoring, how much was lost actually? So in 2009, that's 2010, sorry, for the incorporation debt, we saw that emissions were about 50% if you banded at the surface, even if the hydrolysis was delayed because of rice soil conditions, about 35 with 2.5 centimeters. And this bar here is indicating the 5% level. So it shows that under the conditions of the experiment, if we had buried at five centimeters or more, then we were limiting emissions to less than 5%. If we look now at the 2009 results about the application rate from 0 to 200, then the emissions were about 20% for the 200 rate, about 12% for the 160, and they were smaller or equal to 5% for 120 and less. So if we ask the question how to, at least under the conditions of our experiment, how to limit the losses to 5% or less, it would be to bury at 5 centimeters or deeper, or do not go above 120 kilograms of N per hectare for the rate. How much more? I'm done? Are you kidding me? Okay. Sorry about that. So this is a relationship with ammonia men and pH, so it's nonlinear. And I'll let you read the conclusions here. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. So we can give them one question.
Yes.
Dr. Rochette, there is some work on retaining anhydrous, and it's tied very directly to the pH of the soil starting, so probably based on the reserve acidity that's present. Your soil that you're testing was fairly low pH, if I'm not mistaken. Was it
6?
Around 6?
Yeah.
What do you expect on a soil that would be 7.5 or 8?
Well, understanding that the pH is actually determining the balance, the partition between NH4 plus and NH3, the more basic, the more alkaline you are, the more the equilibrium is shifted toward the NH3 fraction. So I would say that working on the soil that has a higher pH would actually make it more prone to volatilization.
In that anhydrous study, they actually could hold 93% of the injected anhydrous on the acidic soil, but on the soils that were around 8, they only held 66%.
So that we'd go in the same line.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.